Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Monday, the 25th of March. Very nice to have you with us. Well, a busy weekend, a lot going on, and I don't know. We're still trying to figure it out. Hopefully, you're still trying to figure it out because we'll be here to help you try to figure it out. We have a great panel. Let me introduce everybody, and then we'll get started right away and talk about all things Mueller. Political consultant Libby Post joins us. Good morning, Libby. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Albany Law School professor Sarah Rogerson, who directs the Immigration Law Clinic. We're going to certainly tap into your legal expertise this morning. How are you?
I was afraid of that. I'm great. Thank you.
Barry Lewis is executive editor of the Times-Herald Record. And Barry, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. We made some changes on our front pages over the last couple of days.
I bet you did.
Yes.
Almost had to. And hey, look, Malcolm Nance is with us. He is a counterterrorism expert and an MSNBC commentator. And he joins us on the phone via the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Yeah. Okay. It's the morning.
Okay. All right. And WAMC's Alan Chartok is back. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good. When we came back from New Orleans last night, we stopped in Philadelphia to change. And they American Airlines, as usual, overbooked. And they were offering $1,000 a person not to fly.
Could have stayed with Malcolm.
Could have stayed with Malcolm. $1,000.
Plus hotel.
What'd you say?
Plus hotel.
I don't know, but I think at that stage of the game, you could have negotiated for anything because they started at 600.
Wow. And they went up to
1,000.
Wow.
My God, that could pay a trip to Cleveland.
Right.
Yeah. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. And it's nice to have you here. Okay, well, the big news, it broke Friday, and it's been dribbling out all weekend, and that is the Mueller report. This is sort of what we know as of right now. The Mueller report did not find the Trump campaign conspired with Russians. According to the Attorney General, Special Counsel Robert Mueller did not find that Donald Trump or his campaign schemed with Russians to interfere in the 2016 presidential election, according to a summary released Sunday that the president immediately embraced as a total exoneration. We'll get more on that in a moment. Even though Mueller reached no conclusion about whether the president obstructed justice. After a nearly two-year investigation, Mueller's findings seem to dispel the cloud of conspiracy that has hung over the administration since its inception. But by delivering caveats alongside conclusions, the closing of the Mueller investigation opens the door to fiercer political fights over the president's judgment and his power. That from the Washington Post. Alan, start us off.
No, I want to go directly to Malcolm.
Malcolm, start us off.
That's not fair, but okay.
No collusion at Malcolm. No collusion.
Let me explain something to you. I've been working this. How can I put it? I'm going to call it a mission. Working this mission since July 2016. And for this summary finding, that there was no collusion, conspiracy, or coordination flies in the face of the fact we all saw collusion, conspiracy, and coordination. There was documented evidence, starting with the easiest one, Trump's July 27, 2016 speech, where he said, Russia, if you're listening, please release Hillary Clinton's emails. Within hours, the Mueller investigation found that the Internet Research Agency started hacking and started attempting to find and fish other emails from Hillary Clinton's private server. That's one. Number two was Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting in Trump Tower where he was offered dirt on Hillary Clinton. He said, I love it, and then had the meeting. They didn't get what they want. The Russians were there to talk about lifting sanctions. But that met the standard of conspiracy in any other case. As Congressman Ted Lieu said, if it had been a pound of cocaine, just saying I love it would have been conspiracy. We've seen over 100 contacts by Trump campaign officials with Russian representatives that they all lied about. So okay. If there was no conspiracy, why is Michael Flynn in jail? He lied about communications with the Russians when he lied to the FBI.
All right.
It's absolutely staggering.
Malcolm,
but you know what?
What?
Well, I mean, they're obviously...
Well, I love you, but stop yelling at me. Okay. So, let me just go to Sarah for a second. Given the scope of his investigation, why did Mueller write what he wrote?
I think Mike Schmidt from the New York Times put it most eloquently this morning when he said that it seemed that the campaign was collusion curious. They were just close enough, but not far enough. Because when you think about the legal standard, I mean, they would have to take this to a jury. And we're talking about the president of the United States. And Trump knew that. And he always knows that. This is like right out of his playbook for everything he's ever done in his entire life. He knows how to get just close enough. And he hires a legal team with flexible ethical boundaries that will protect him by writing checks, personal checks, like Michael Cohen. He surrounds himself with people, and this is the cult of personality thing. And it's, you know, it's out of the Russian playbook too, to have a whole army of fall guys, and they are almost exclusively men. To be able to take the fall for him.
Well,
so that he can be just close enough.
Self-dealing, I was thinking about this, self-dealing sycophants and megalomaniacs is what we have in the White House right now. And I agree. I think, you know, this collusion, not collusion, I think he knew what was going on. It was a wink and a nod. Could they have found it guilty in a court of law? I'm not a lawyer. I can't say that. But I think that that there was clearly a recognition that this was being helpful, and they didn't say stop. They said, okay, what do we know? You know, if they want to do that, you know, it's like a return. It's like Donald Segretti and dirty tricks to the 100th power, mm-hmm. if not more.
But the difference with there and Nixon is you have the tapes, and you have the Republicans who without question went to him and said, you're done. And certainly now, whatever Republicans were on the fence, whatever level of moderates in the Senate, they are gone because every headline in every newspaper, including my own, has the words no collusion. Right. And so at this point on, this is a win. There's no question that after 22 months, this is a win for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the only thing that Democrats are going to do, and Nancy Pelosi, and how you navigate through this is to win the next election, stick with domestic issues, talk about health care, talk about the things that are going to matter, because you're going to let the Southern District and let some of these other venues do their due diligence. But what Congress is going to have to do, and they can have, you know, they can, if they need the subpoena, Barr or Mueller, to get a better understanding and to see completely the report, that's fine. But you're going to have to walk a fine line, because if you're going to spend the next 2 years talking about impeachment, which you're not going to get, and everyone knows that whatever you thought you were going to get before, you're not now, you're just going to sink yourself deeper.
So, Malcolm, when you think about where we are and what you stated earlier, so where legally do you think we go from here? And because obviously there are a lot of people on the left who are quite bereft in reading this report, where should they find happiness?
Well, they should find happiness with their families, but for the most part.
Good answer, sir.
I'm going literally getting ready to leave to fly to Berlin, and I thought, man, should I cancel this trip? And I said, no, I'm not going to let Donald Trump be my travel agent. And we should take this for what it is. It's not a loss. It's an explanation. However, the explanation is incomplete, and I think that people should understand that there's more to this. Should this be the platform for Democrats moving forward? No. Let the Southern District of New York and the state of New York and the, you know, District Attorney of Manhattan do whatever it is that they do. They're very good at it. But, you know, we do have to explain ourselves and explain our platform. But don't worry. Donald Trump is going to solve this problem for everybody. He is on, the only way to put it this morning is he's on jihad.
Right.
He fully intends to go after the entire Democratic Party as enemies. And if he will probably attempt to split the nation in the run-up to the election. And this is where he overreaches. He has always gotten away with everything he's had in his life. And he now thinks that he owns the judicial system, the government of the United States, and now he's going to start playing petty dictator. And it's going to explode in his face.
But we got to be careful because he overreaches, and yet he's sitting in the White House. And so all his life he's overreached, and he's been bankrupt, and he's, you know, he's paid off pawns. He's done everything you could possibly do and say, and yet he is at 40%. He is now 45. He has now been exonerated, certainly in the minds of all Republicans. And he moves forward. This is the best day of his presidency.
I just want to remind everybody that this ain't over yet. I'm not in agreement that his legal problems are over. I think what's going to happen now is that it's going to be like a choo-choo train going a little bit, and it's going to go faster and faster and faster. And if my bet is you got to keep your eye on what he does with the Southern District, because clearly he's worried about them. And so he'll do whatever he can. We know that already.
They're going to see a lot of delays, delay, delay. They're going to use every legal tactic imaginable to delay this thing. I mean, as of now, they've still been delaying because they haven't given Congress the reports that they have been asking
for. Okay, but that's right. And the American people want that. It's interesting how there was a unanimous vote of both houses to let the report get put out there. And yet, we're not hearing that today. So I say, keep your eye on Nadler. I know the guy, and I know what he's going to do. And I would not say that what we have to do here is be exclusive to domestic and other issues, health care and the rest. I think this story goes that it's going to have legs and it's going to move. And a lot of people who are saying, woe is me this morning, are going to be saying, woo.
Alan, you go Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, those areas, Ohio. If you're not talking about the issues that are going to be on people's minds, you know, health care, taxes, employment, they're not, they don't, it, you know, Russia collusion, this is not what's going to make or break them.
My dear friend, I didn't say that.
Okay.
I said do both. And you can do both. It is really an issue here of letting this thing go forward and letting New York State do its thing. We'll see whether Tish James is up to it. I don't know about that. Yet, we'll see. I'll be talking to Governor Cuomo today at 11, I'm going to ask him the question. You know, he's a pretty brutal guy when it comes to politics, and he'll know what he's thinking.
Alan, I agree with you. I mean, I do think that the train has left the station. He has not been cleared of obstruction of justice.
Mm-mm.
I think the Southern District, hopefully New York State. I think you'll see other states engaging in some legal issues because they've already signed on to some stuff. And he can be his own worst enemy. And yes, now he's totally drunk with power. And you know what happens when people are drunk with power? They make big mistakes. And if he's going to be as petty as going after Saturday Night Live and then wanting to shut down the Washington Post and the New York Times, which is what he is wont to do.
And not give any money to public radio.
You know, right, right. And he wants to ban money. He wants to get rid of money for libraries and museums as well. I do think that we have to do this. And I put this on Facebook this morning. Don't mourn this. This is now a time for us to organize, to continue to organize. Look what we did in 2018. This is what we're going to do in 2020. It's our time.
When you say we and our, you're talking about yourself.
Yes, the divinity of plurality.
But, as opposed to everyone in this room.
Right.
Which
no, right. I know, because you can't do that. But I mean, as the progressives, the Democratic Party, the people who want change, they have to organize. We have to do it on a local level, make sure it bubbles up to the top.
I think that the big pressure is now going to be on those folks, those 20, 25, however many, as the list grows, of Democratic challenges, because they're going to have to come up with a message. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi has done a great job, an amazing job, maybe the best job of anyone. But they're going to have to come up with a message that's going to have to weave this through.
Because they
know it. It's tough. Now, you know, Gillibrand was in front of Trump Tower. That's good for, you know, a couple of hours. But, right, how is that message moving forward that you're going to garner the votes, but not look like you're just an obstructionist.
Well, and can we celebrate the fact that our government it doesn't look like a presidential candidate actually colluded with Russia to hijack our election? Whew. I mean, can we be happy about that? Because personally, for me, I felt, and I still feel like this marginal stuff is still very, very dangerous, right? If somebody can get away with this, they can do it without doing it, so to speak. But can we just celebrate for a moment that there isn't a smoking gun? That, yeah. Like, there, aside from the Stormy Daniels check, right, which was a great one, on a related but separate issue.
Malcolm, are you ready to celebrate?
No, I'm not ready to celebrate. Mainly because
I'm with you, Malcolm.
Silver linings, guys. Silver linings.
Should we take that for granted? I mean, do we need to celebrate that? Gee, we had a president who
a presidential candidate who
apparently was not treasonous. Wow.
Well, look at the level that we've sunk into. To be quite honest with you, I mean, yeah. Donald Trump is by all measures, you know, a quite possibly the most corrupt president in the history of the United States. And what we found here, and this is why I find it amazing, the things that were in plain sight. People say, well, there was no conspiracy with him with the Russian government. Well, the Russian government doesn't use its own agents for that. I want to see the standard that was brought to show conspiracy. Because if it was 100% without a doubt, you needed to have a signed contract from Russian intelligence. Right. You know, John Cipher, ex-CIA officer from Moscow, and Asha Rangappa, counterintelligence officer from the FBI, they said, you're never going to find that. It's always done with cutouts. But that being said, yay, our president is not a traitor. But you know what? I really think that he is, because I have seen his signed letter of intent for the Moscow Trump Tower, which he signed during the campaign. That, to me, is expressed acknowledgement that there was going to be an effort. The Russians just did it, and they went out, like you said, what did you say, conspiracy or collusion curious?
Yeah, collusion curious.
That will get you arrested, any other person in the U.S. government.
Then how is it that after 22 months, Robert Mueller couldn't get enough evidence to have that?
A great lawyer.
We don't know that.
We haven't seen the whole report. But from what we can garner at this point, that has not been found.
And he has come off unscathed, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Mueller has come off unscathed. Wait. But I have to tell you, I am...
15 seconds.
I'm concerned about what we're going to find out. He's a bright guy. He goes to the Southern District. He goes to Virginia. He farms it all out. But he didn't do what I think he had to do.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll hold, and we'll be back with the whole crew right after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Libby Post, Sarah Rogerson, Barry Lewis, and Malcolm Nance on the telephone. And we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Let's go through some letters.
Judy writes an excellent letter, AG Barr letter. Good morning. I'm a little bit disappointed that the entire media apparatus has rung the, quote, no collusion bell based on a letter from Barr without any substantiation from the actual Mueller report or Bob Mueller himself. After all of the reporting over the past 2 years of questionable behavior by Trump and his cohorts, I won't be satisfied by Barr's word alone on this issue. Let's remember how he helped Reagan out of his Iran-Contra problems by encouraging pardons for Scooter Libby that saved Reagan from further investigation. I need proof. Judy, I'm with you.
Oh, Judy, I'm sorry, but, you know, we don't interpret the news. We got to report the news on that level. That's what my newspaper and just about every newspaper ever in the United States had.
Yeah, but
that was the news.
But I think Judy's right in that there has been a widespread acceptance of the finding without substantiation based on this very questionable guy, Barr, who said in advance of his confirmation he didn't believe in any of this stuff. Now he comes out and does his thing.
Well, Alan, that would have been really tough to have on our front page this morning, but I'll consider that the next headline.
Will you please? Malcolm, were you going to say something?
No, I'm laughing.
Good morning, panel. When will Alan, like Anderson Cooper did last night, admit that yesterday was a good day for America? Our president is not a Russian agent. The fact that half of our country wanted him to have colluded with Russia is disturbing. Mueller did his job. Let's go forward now. Or will the Democrats rehash this forever, just like the Republicans did with Benghazi? And best regards, says David. All right. And Mike says, good morning, Malcolm and panel. It's a depressing Monday for those of us that believe this president is a danger to our free democracy. Can you give us a rundown of what is next for those of us who want to see Trump be a one-term president? Mike from Saratoga Springs.
Malcolm, what's next?
Well, what's next is that democracy is certainly in the House of Representatives will move forward. Donald Trump's biggest failing and the thing that he fears the most, which is why he's such an active attacker, is he fears the guardrails of democracy. He does not like democracy at all. Mm-hmm. He loves the idea of being an autocrat. And today is the day, certainly if Rudy Giuliani is to be believed, today's the day that he is going to start acting that way. Trust me, he's going to start acting like Erdogan. He's going to start his purges. And, they're talking about investigating Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Now, you want to split the country? Try that.
And then we got a note from Mike who says, Donald Trump is doing his victory dance over the summary by A.G. William Barr, total exoneration. What struck me in Trump's remarks was there were many good people who were hurt by this investigation. It would not surprise me that we will see pardons. By the way, I'm getting a lot of mail on that. Pardons for Paul Manafort and Michael Flynn. These are two people who Trump feels were victimized, and that's Mike from Glens Falls.
Just to say what comes next, again, and I agree, he fears democracy. So what comes next is if there was anything that would energize folks to come out and vote, this is what's going to do
right.
It. Because he's not going to be impeached. He's not going to be indicted. And so what comes next is if you feel strongly, you're going to have to vote.
That's right. I mean, it's really about continuing what we started with the Women's March right after the inauguration
in the House.
Right, and all the work that's happened. Look what happened in 2018, the blue wave, and don't let anybody say it wasn't a wave. It was bigger than Watergate. And we're going to continue that work. And we just have to, I think a lot of people are disheartened. Well, turn that disheartened into action, and that's all you can do. You have to stay focused. We have to look at the eye on the keep our eye on the prize, which is taking back the White House and the Senate.
But you know what? There is a set of facts here which I find disturbing, and I think that other letter was so correct on this. You can't accept the big lie. The big lie is it's all over. Trump won. The other people lost. I think that's a bunch of nonsense. Trump didn't win. I think, by the way, that he was really, it's quite clear when he said to those Russians, don't worry, I took care of that. I fired, whatever his name is, and I did that to stop the Russian thing. What are they talking about? That's what it is. You don't roll over now in the face of this.
That's
no,
right.
And it's right, but I'm not saying rolling over, but in certainly in his mind, And in the mind of certainly the Senate, he won.
Well, I know we have to get back to the letters, but I do want to say we never heard from Trump. He was not subpoenaed. He hasn't been asked. Well, he hasn't commented. And since both of these, the central part of this investigation relies squarely on what the president's intent was while he was a candidate and then as president. So we can look at how some of these other cases are being farmed out by the Mueller team and then see what those prosecutors do in terms of pinning this president down to put a statement on the record, because that's ultimately his undoing.
And there is a statement on the record, and I think that's what the White House is probably going to want to have redacted or not have included, is what were those written statements? What did he say? His statements are in the report. Be very curious to see what he said.
And they were written totally by lawyers.
Right.
Back to the letters. Rick in Needham says, panel, everyone in the campaign was talking with the Russians and there was no collusion? These people were smarter than we thought. Rick in Needham. And Keith says, Trump hired the right AG. Trump hired the right AG. Barr did exactly what his application said he would do and protected the president from the Mueller report. Barr overstepped his boundaries and put his hands on the scales of justice. Lady Justice shed more tears yesterday. The rule of law is dead under the Barr Justice Department, from Keith. And Jim says, Mueller report. The Democrats are blowing it. They overplayed and focused exclusively on the Mueller report. Forget about this. Instead of focusing on what Trump did or did not do, focus instead on who Trump is. And that's all of that letter I'm going to read because it's too long. And then we heard from John. Could we still have a closed indictment waiting for Trump when he comes out of office? I doubt it, but you never know. Okay. And John says... John, I have a file with John's letters. They're quite long. It's hard to listen to Malcolm and Alan without coming to the conclusion that critical thinking is impinged by personal bias. After all, none of their predictions came true.
That's not true.
What prediction was that? I kept saying, got to wait for the Mueller report. Come on, John, tell the truth.
And the other part of this is that we need to read the report.
And Malcolm wants to say something. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Malcolm.
No. Let her continue.
Okay, go ahead, Libby.
Yeah, we need to see the report. We need to read the report. We're basing all of our consternation on an over-the-weekend two-page memo written by Barr when it took 2 years. Well, four-page, whatever it was. But it took 2 years and, hundreds if not thousands of pages.
We
don't even know how many pages the report is. So we really need to see the report. Otherwise, the message is being controlled by the Department of Justice, and that's not how it should be done.
And Mary says, letter, not report. We have not seen any of the Mueller report. We have seen a four-page, quote, summary written by Barr, who does not think a sitting president can be indicted. Mary in Albany. That's what I got, Joe.
All right. Malcolm, go ahead.
Yeah, one little thing about my personal bias. I do have a personal bias, and my bias is this. I've spent almost three decades protecting this country with my life. And when I see something as an intelligence professional, I'm usually really good at picking out what it is. My predictions that I made in my two books, Plot to Hack America and Plot to Destroy Democracy, have held up. Even as of Friday, I outlined the details of the Russian attack on the United States. It has been validated by Bob Barr. The one thing that I can take for right now until I see the report is the bridge between the Trump team. All the things we saw happened. All the context that occurred happened. All the lies that were said happened. It appears, I think Bob Barr came in and I think he spiked the investigation because it ended really quickly after he was confirmed. So you know what? I'm going to keep my prognostication open.
Yeah, and I have to agree with Malcolm that there's a difference between what evidence exists and what evidence can be brought to bear on an indictment, right? And that those are very different things. And it involves a lot of creative lawyering, which hasn't been completed yet. This is the first stage.
You know, I think Mueller was in a terrible situation. I really do. In other words, he had to play it like a man on a tightrope, because if he went in the wrong direction, they were already yelling and screaming. By the way, this president who said Mueller was a terrible man isn't saying that this morning. No. I'll tell you that right now. But he did what he had to do. He went over to the Southern District. He went to Virginia. He went to these other places. And he set it up the best he could. Am I happy about it? No. I think he could have done more, and I would have liked him to have a little bit more guts about the whole thing. But he didn't.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll have more letters. We'll have more comments on the Mueller report and what we know about it, what we'll find out, and ... We have to talk about the Democrats as well. Malcolm Nance, Libby Post, Barry Lewis, Sarah Rogerson, Alan Chartok. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. We have more letters. Let's go to those.
Okay. Question, says Charlene. Will Barr have jurisdiction over SDNY's findings? Sarah?
So there's some interplay.
He's the attorney general. These guys all work for him, right?
Well, but there's a lot of layers of hierarchy involved there in terms of who's in charge of what investigation and what the connection is. I think we need to know more about what will be filed in the Southern District before we can answer those questions.
Well, yeah, that's a safe way out, I think. On the other hand, when there was a question after he fired Preet, after the president fired Preet, he did personal interviews. The president, very unusual, of who was going to take that job.
For sure.
And I think that connotes something to us.
No, there were a lot of good attorneys that were let go in the transition who happened to be Obama appointees or otherwise just unsuitable for this president. So there's definitely danger there. I also, though, have a lot of faith in my attorney colleagues in the state of New York. I've been lawyering a lot in the last 2 years, and I've worked with folks in the Western District of New York, in particular, and in the Northern District. And I just, day to day, I believe in the goodness of the profession, and I believe in the ethical standards of the attorneys that are in those positions.
I say, we'll see. Malcolm, what do you say?
I'm with you.
Okay. So now, Mark says, after reading and rereading the three-page Mueller report summary, I have the following three questions. One, if there was no coordination, weren't many Trump associates guilty of being useful idiots?
Yeah, Alan. What? Just put it. Malcolm was going to talk.
No wonder I couldn't hear Malcolm.
Okay. No. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Because we only have you for 10 more minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to point something out to you for all who have despaired. You know, Al Capone did not go to jail for bootlegging, murder, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, none of that. He went to prison and died in prison of syphilis because of tax evasion. And despite the best efforts, sometimes guilty people do not get fully charged, but they are not innocent, even if he has, you know, when they can't compile enough evidence.
Hear, hear.
And I think people need to be heartened by our judicial system. I want to see Robert Mueller's results. If all of his FBI 302s, you know, and other documentation say, hey, yeah, these guys committed conspiracy, but it did not reach our conviction level. Well, that's good enough for the intelligence community to run you out of town, take your clearance and end your, you know, career for the rest of your life. The Congress needs to look at it in that light.
Sure, because the Congress light is the impeachment light, as opposed to, I mean, things that, as you suggest, Malcolm, things that might be criminally indictable are certainly punishable by impeachment. Yes,
no. But if you had a Congress with some level of integrity, but we've seen that this Congress, you know, the Republicans in Congress do not, and they are not going to impeach.
You know, 2020.
Ever.
2020 is going to be, in hindsight, and all like that.
Right. And that's why they're not going to impeach, because of 2020.
Right.
Well, no, I meant 2020.
Okay. I thought you meant the other 2020.
No, but 2020 is interesting because, you know, let nobody mistake the fact that this guy, Trump, I hesitate to say it before this microphone, could win. He could win again. In which case. Yeah. What'd you say, Malcolm?
He could win.
And so a lot is going to depend on what people are willing to do. And if people accept the big lie, they're going to sit on their haunches and say, oh, well, we lost, which is crazy.
Right. I think, yeah.
Well, it's a lot easier, too, to, you know, sit in our kitchens or wherever we are listening to the radio and reading our newspaper and hoping that you know, Mueller will save us all. That's not going to happen. And I actually appreciate this report, because it doesn't let Trump off the hook completely, no matter what he says.
We don't know what it says.
Right. We think it doesn't let Trump off the hook completely, based on the reporting so far. But it also refocuses the progressive base. Not that the progressives have been that far off message, but it refocuses folks on the work that has to be done to take our country back.
Right.
Yeah. They were waiting for Uncle Bob to take care of it.
Right.
And he came to Christmas dinner and he didn't bring the prize that you wanted. So now it's up to you.
There are two more points Mark made here. Did Mueller look into if Russia has any damaging information it can hold over Trump? And three, shouldn't Barr have stopped in capital letters after summarizing his report? Why, after stating that there may have been obstruction, did Barr assume Mueller left this decision up to him and not Congress? And that's from Mark. And then we heard
question.
From what? Yeah. And Stacey said Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Trump in the report. Hi, panel. I'm not sure if anyone mentioned the fact that Mueller never had Trump sit for questioning or any of the Trumps. Why didn't he? Did he fear the investigation would be shut down? I'm very interested to hear why such interviews were deemed not necessary. Based on Barr's memo, there's much to be questioned, and that's from Stacey.
Mm-hmm. Trump's lawyers made it clear they were not. Trump's lawyers were not going to allow for Trump to testify in person. And even if he testified in person, he could have pleaded the Fifth. And so Mueller came up with,
that would
best,
have been something to see a president pleading the Fifth.
Right, but he would have done that, and he wasn't going to. And Mueller apparently said the next best thing was going to be this written Q&A.
Well, I'm not happy. Anyway, we heard from Mark in Columbia County. Is it possible that Mueller report concluded with proof that Russia did conspire to influence our election? We know that. Everybody has admitted the Russians were in it.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Given the intelligence community told Donald Trump from day one of his presidency the same, our president has ignored a direct attack on a republic for 2 years now. Is it a direct opposition to the oath of office and his role as commander-in-chief? And Sandra says, a question principally for Malcolm. If, in capital letters, bold capital letters, if there was no collusion between Trump folks and the Russian government, then how does the U.S. deal with seemingly wholesale freelance Russian interference? What can we, bold letters, do to ensure our democracy is going forward? Comes down to a single word, right? Vote.
Yeah, vote. Vote is what you have to do. But, you know, there was a good point here. One of the questions earlier was there any evidence that Donald Trump, or did the special counsel investigate if Donald Trump was under the sway or was actually, you know, being blackmailed by the Russians? We don't know that. We don't know that at all. But one of the things that we do know, several of the things that we do know, is his pre-election activities with the Russians would be the sort of compromise, would be the sort of blackmailable material that would be put him in a position where he could be compromised. Clearly, Donald Trump is completely subservient to Vladimir Putin. And that sort of love and bromance, which he usually only reserves for Kim Jong-un, is has to be explained. The president of the United States himself may, in fact, be compromised and working in the interest of a foreign power, but that was not the mandate of Robert Mueller. The mandate was, as he put it, tacit and express acknowledgement of cooperation between the government of Russia and the members of the Trump campaign. You can go right up to that line and not cross over it and still be committing treason.
Right.
Lisa says, how far did Bill Barr's income increase since writing his unsolicited opinion and being appointed AG? I don't trust any of these liars. I agree with Libby. Time to organize for 2020.
Barr probably took a pay cut to take the job.
Oh, I'm sure he did. I'm sure
big time.
Yeah.
I'm sure he did. Marcia says, Judy's email, I wholeheartedly agree with Judy. I hear the points you are all making, but let's not get our britches twisted over Barr's assessment of the Mueller report. I'm patient. I'll wait for the dust to settle and the actual Mueller report gets released. If, ladies and gentlemen, it does ever get released.
Big F.
Yeah, you know, the Congress was all for it until we heard this report from Barr. And now I'm not hearing squat.
Well, you're hearing Natalie, you said your friend, and some Democrats who are saying, you've got to release it.
Yeah.
Or they'll subpoena.
But it's not 100%, which it was just a few days ago.
No.
And Karen says,
if I can make a quick comment.
Sure,
Karen,
please.
Alan. I think now is a good time for Joe Biden to swoop in. You know, I mean, the world is, everyone's despondent. You just don't go near my Twitter feed. They're all crying. I would think that this would be a good time to say, I think it's time for us to rally, unify, and restore this country and move it on to a new generation. And, you know, he would have a willing audience at this point.
I gotta disagree with you there.
I don't think so.
I think Cory Booker is actually the candidate that's making that rallying.
Biden is not going to be the man who's going to scream for a new generation.
I agree with Malcolm.
Hey, he's going to be doing the Jerry Brown thing.
I do too.
Bringing the octogenarian to save the place and turn it over.
And that didn't work well for Jerry Brown in the presidential races.
Oh boy.
No, but he did for California.
Well,
California is its own.
An island unto itself.
Yes. And meanwhile, Sarah just shakes her head on the corner.
Well, you know, the thing is that I do think that Joe Biden could come and swoop in and rally the troops. Then he can decide whether or not he's going to run for president.
Joe Biden is at its peak. He's at his peak before he says, "I'm running." And the day he says, "I'm running," suddenly those numbers will change and they'll continue to change. I mean, he's very popular before you.
You say change, but change up or change down?
Change down.
Down.
I think they would change down dramatically. He's the most popular person who isn't running yet. And as soon as he says, "I'm in," those numbers change.
So and he should do the right thing and pick a candidate to support.
Yeah. So.
Well,
you make a point. So, what is to happen here?
Well, I think if he wants to, but I don't think at this point we've got 2 years to rally around one person. You know, somebody's going to earn this thing.
By the way,
we have 1 year.
I was just going to say,
we
Malcolm,
have 1 year.
You're way ahead.
Year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. But somebody's going to earn this thing through these primaries.
And Karen says, "Thank you for having Malcolm on today. I have a lesser, well, different version of that sick, dirty feeling I had when himself got elected. Only now it's alongside the knowledge that half my country supports this person. I didn't realize how messed up this country is before 2016, and for the first time I'm frightened of the possibility of his reelection. I've been hanging on since I got the news yesterday to being with you all this morning. Thank you for being here, Karen." And let me just say, those of you who love this radio station, I've said it before, now more than ever. And Eric says, our good friend, the director, Eric, "Collusion, great show. Does Mueller know what Trump and Putin have said to each other without anyone but translators present? Could they have been colluding, or were they exchanging March Madness brackets? Come on," says Eric.
I think we do know that Putin had Duke, so anything's possible now.
All right. We are going to take a break. Malcolm, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
No problem. I'm on my way to Berlin. I really wish I was back up there.
You're safe travels.
Yeah, safe travels to Berlin, and we thank you very much for being with us this morning. Malcolm Nance, we will be back with more conversation with Alan Chartok, Sarah Rogerson, Barry Lewis, and Libby Post. All right, good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and our discussion of the Mueller report, its release, what we know, what we don't know. .. We have a lot of letters. We'll go to those and continue our spirited conversation. We have Libby Post, Barry Lewis, Sarah Rogerson, and Alan Chartok, who reads the letter number one, beginning with the letter number one.
As best he can. Janice says, Trump. Two words, Roy Cohn, Trump has learned from the master. Sarah was so spot on with her description. Trump has gotten away with everything from day one and learned how to do that from his mentor, Roy Cohn. He has assumed his personality, Janice. And John wrote another letter. No, one per customer, please. We're not going to do that. And then we heard from Nick, who said, you liberal hacks won't rest until Trump is gone. Any excuse, pretty sad. And the Clinton and Obama crime syndicates are still running free. Nick in Boston Spa.
Nick, you want to investigate Whitewater while you're at it also? I mean, where does it end? Mm-hmm. You know, it's...
Sonia says, where do we go from here? If you are surprised by the Mueller report summary, then you don't get it. The country has become an oligarchy. There are completely different rules for the wealthy, and this is just another example of it. What has not changed since 2016 is this. For your country to get back on track, millions of people need to stand up and say enough is enough. Follow leaders that are able to inspire and motivate people. Look to who fills stadiums and stick to the issues that matter. To we the people. Organize, don't agonize. And that's Sonia.
I agree with Sonia. I just want to add in here. Mm-hmm. On Friday, after the report was released, I looked at my news timeline. And this says it all. The top stories were that Mueller delivered the report on the Russia investigation to the Attorney General, and that Trump reversed new North Korea sanctions one day after the Treasury announced them. But what was trending, that means what people were reading, were 26 celebrities that you had no idea were hilarious on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And bad news for Gmail users' first inbox, now this. And I thought, what have we learned?
I don't get the last one. Can you explain it?
Well, it's just about email, right? Like, so the point is that
Google Mail, which is a popular server, so they're putting out an article about changes.
Right. So
people are more interested in that than they are the Mueller
report.
Celebrities on Instagram.
But I think also this does play into perfectly what Trump has done, which is if you say something every day, every single day, it has worn on people. And I think the investigation and the report and Russia. And so somehow if it's an everyday deal, Trump has learned that, the next thing that's said just doesn't have as much meaning. And it's, people are worn from it.
Well, and the fire in the belly, right?
Yeah.
I think we've gotten a little complacent, and hopefully this shakes everybody up. I agree with you, Sonia.
Patty says, Barr, I've been screaming for years like a Cassandra about the psychopathy of Donald Trump. In the beginning, people just laughed at me. Later, they shrugged their shoulders. William Barr has effectively signed our death sentence. Trump's minions are dancing in the streets, and they won't be stopped. Trump will destroy us all, and society is to blame for its inability to look insanity in the face and call it so. And that's Patty from Vermont. Good morning, panel. The Mueller report is like a biopsy. Like it or not, you got to know the results. The health of the nation is at stake. XO, XO, XO. And that's from Chester in Woodstock.
That's nice.
And John says, Barr's conflict of interest. Don't forget, before his AG, Barr wrote a 20-page unsolicited memo to the DOJ excoriating the Mueller effort. Barr was picked for a reason. We've said that a lot on this program. Thank you for that. And then Kevin says, Mueller report. For all we know, the report could say that Trump was guilty of obstruction. There is no way Barr would allow that to get through. Why is everybody thinking Barr is being honest? What do you mean, everybody? Certainly not me. Let's go back and listen to my commentary this morning and what we've said here today.
Right. But we know that Mueller was not very conclusive in his, it would appear. And even Mueller's quote that's used, that, Mueller basically put together these facts and is saying, okay, Congress, you decide.
And we don't really know what he said because we haven't seen the full report.
From his quote, right, but we know from
somebody. I mean, there is the quote from the special counsel. While this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him.
Right, so there's the waffle that has people in an uproar, and understandably so.
Do you think Pence is named in the report at all?
Oh, God. It would be lovely.
I'm sure he has to have been named, or it would be an incomplete investigation.
Okay, so Sean says, I love it. I've been waiting all weekend to hear the whining and dodging on the show, and you haven't disappointed. There was no collusion in capital letters. 2 years of this nonsense, 2 years of this, no doubt, and the truth is out. The only collusion is that the Dems buying a federal investigation of our president via the falsified Steele dossier. Let's get an investigation into that. And he says, and that's from Sean.
Hey, Sean, they made more money than they spent. For the country in the final analysis. There were millions of dollars that were brought back to the United States
government.
In fines and property. And
I'm psyched that he was looking forward to the show all weekend. That's cool.
Me too.
But
we didn't disappoint. That's good.
Right. The Shawns of the world are folks who I've heard from. And I think, again, that's where the president is going to be raising that newspaper and everyone. He'll raise the New York Times or that Washington Post cover. And that's going to be his rallying cry. And he's going to start going on these rallies very quickly.
Oh, I think he's got one tonight or something.
And right. And it's going to be. Yeah. Oh, and it's going to be.
In an hour.
In Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigan, the place that Hillary forgot.
He'll focus on the swing states.
As well as he should. So this is where it's going to come into play. This is where, again, the minion of folks who are running on the Democratic side, they're going to have to figure out, okay, what's going to be our message?
I take a little bit of exception to what I just heard from you, Mary, which is, as well, he should. If you take should in the larger moral sense, he shouldn't. if you're talking about the pragmatic, how do I get myself into office another time?
Yes.
Then
right.
we would say,
right.
Sure.
I was putting myself in his right. You know, there's so many times.
That's what a candidate does.
Right. Trump has said things he should not. I mean, I just thought about last week. I thought about McCain. You know, and Republicans cheering as the president, you know, went after a man who's been dead for 7 months, who was a national hero, and I, you know, it seemed to.
Was that a should?
No, that's yeah. not a should. I don't know any Republican who said, yeah, he should do that, and yet he did it, and yet he does this at a convention, and people are cheering. Republicans are cheering, and you're kind of wondering what's going on. You know, where is some level of human decency?
It's because America is focused on winning and right. not on the presidency as a moral office. That's well, our real. That
you know, we're trying yes. to make. You know, we're trying to. You know, trying to understand Trump. You know, after last week, you're like, I give up. I don't understand this.
Well, let me say that they cheered for Hitler. Now, I'm not saying right. Trump is Hitler, but I am saying those massive crowds at Nuremberg and everywhere else. You know, they cheered for him. It didn't make him right. Just
no,
meant
no,
they cheered
yeah.
for him.
I want to two things. First of all, just a quick mention of an event that's taking place. David McCraw, who is deputy general counsel at the New York Times, is going to be at the law school on Wednesday.
That's right. We're very excited to have him. He's an Albany Law School alum. You all might remember him. Back in 2016, he wrote what I present to my students as one of the best pieces of legal writing that came out of the 2016 election. In responding to Donald Trump's campaign in not retracting information published by the New York Times that turned out to be truthful.
He's the author of a new book called Truth in Our Times, Inside the Fight for Press Freedom in the Age of Alternative Facts. He will also be on with our Ian Pickus coming up just after our conversation this morning. So that's on Wednesday at the law school, 3:00. All right. Other thing is something Alan mentioned very early in our conversations about Jerry Nadler, and I would like to go a little bit into the Democratic response in our time left. Undeterred by President Trump's claim of complete and total exoneration from a summary of the special counsel's report on Russian interference, Democrats on Sunday vowed to press ahead with their multiple investigations into the president and whether he obstructed justice. Gerald Nadler, whose panel has jurisdiction over impeachment, pledged to pick up where the investigation left off and, if necessary, subpoena Attorney General William Barr to testify. In an impromptu news conference in New York City, he seized on special counsel Robert Mueller's refusal to exonerate Trump on the question of obstruction of justice, suggesting that Barr's summary was a hasty partisan interpretation of facts. President Trump is wrong. This report does not amount to a so-called total exoneration, Nadler said. It is unconscionable that President Trump would try to spin the special counsel's findings as if his conduct was remotely acceptable.
To which I say, so what's new? I mean, that's what the guy does. The big lie is part of his vocabulary. That's what he does. You know, when I see this vacuum, the question is, who's going to step in on the Democratic side to fill it? We do know that Kirsten Gillibrand tried it. She got in front of Trump Tower and she said he's a coward, you know, and he's a bad guy. Her campaign has not yet taken off either in the polls or any other way, and she did it.
I'm just saying the big lie thing. You know, I think every Democratic person who's running for president, anybody who's an activist, we have to brand Trump as a liar.
I couldn't agree more.
That's basically it. He trades in the big lie. He is a liar. He lies every single time, almost every single time he opens his mouth. I can't say every single time, but almost every single time. And he needs to be branded with that from now until Election Day in 2020.
Well, it makes sense that you would talk about messaging on the legal front. I think it would be a mistake to focus on solely on getting the full report. I think that that Congress has a lot of work to do and that there are some important issues that we're missing out on highlighting in these congressional hearings if we focus 100% on trying to expose the Mueller report, which I believe will eventually be made public.
I'm surprised it wasn't already printed in the Times or the Post, to be
yeah.
quite honest with you.
Yeah, it's probably been
yeah,
leaked.
It will.
And I think, you know, once you say he's a liar, you not say so much pivot, but then you move on to, okay, and here's why.
Right.
Here's why.
And this is how it's hurt you.
And this is how, right, exactly.
He's taken away your health care. He's raised your taxes. Those are the two things
important. Right. He's made immigration an emergency when there are emergencies, when we have floods, right. when climate right. problems. That's what they need to do. Right. And then you key on that.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. We have more letters. We'll go with those in our 7 minutes left.
Okay. K says, okay, comma, K, K-A-Y says, response to Mueller Barr report. Our response to our disappointment over Mueller report is to make small, recurring contributions to a dozen viable Democratic candidates for president, and that's from Kay. And then Howard says, I think Mueller was in with Trump from the start, and that's from Howard. And Mark says, who's colluding? The only ones colluding with the Russians is the media and the Dems. You're doing a better job than Trump could ever do in dividing the country. That includes all of you. You all suffer from TDS, Trump delusional syndrome. The election's over. Let's move on and start working for the American people, says Mark.
Keep listening, Mark.
And Edwin says, traitor. This morning on at least two networks, I saw Sarah Huckabee Sanders go on that Mueller report proved that president wasn't an agent of the Russian government, which would have made him a traitor, a crime punishable by death, in quotes. Isn't a traitor someone who betrays a public trust and isn't lying to the American public, which this president has done thousands of times, according to multiple fact checkers, a betrayal of public trust, which by very definition makes this president a traitor? And that's Edward from Olive Bridge. And Alan says, Malcolm Nance, Malcolm makes a point that Trump must be in the pocket of Russia because of how deferential he is to Putin, but then says he's also deferential to Kim Jong-un. That doesn't make sense. Is he also in the pocket of the North Koreans? Did they fund his golf courses too? That's an extra all you need. Or is Donald Trump always deferential to dictators like he is also to the leader of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte? Perhaps he is in such a weak man himself and that would love a Russian dictatorship in the United States. He loves these guys, and it has nothing to do with him being in the pocket of the Russians. All right. And Fran, you can opt out of voting, but you can't opt out of the results. And Deb says, I'm a first-time writer. Can you think that if the report isn't released fully in a reasonable amount of time, somebody will certainly leak it. My prediction. Thanks, Deb. Possible?
Definitely possible. Yeah.
And when we think about that and the report as a whole, I mean, obviously we're going to be hearing about this a lot of machinations over the next week, don't you think? I mean, a lot of back and forth.
Well, you know, Joe, the more they hold it back, the full report, the more legs it's going to grow. And that's why, you know, that this Sanders says, he has no problem with sending it out to the public because they know what the public wants. But it's going to be up to Barr. Barr, who was paid and hired and put in office by Trump.
Yeah, I think it helps. It would help the Republicans if the report comes out sooner than later, because the longer there's a delay, then there's greater anticipation and more questions come up. So I would think if you're Barr and you're trying to expedite this thing, you put something out there.
Unless there's something in there.
Well, it's going to be there's going to be redactions. I mean, we know that, and there were some aspects of it, but yeah, I think the question is more going to be redacted than less?
Yeah, and you have to redact out anything that could be sent over to a grand jury,
right,
which could be a considerable amount of information. I actually think the more that's redacted, the better, because that means that there are more tentacles out there. And then anything related to intelligence, right, that can't be released, that will also be redacted. So we'll wait and see.
Final story of today has to do with we have one other thing to discuss that is not Mueller related.
Good.
Is everyone happy about that?
Yes.
It has to do with ISIS and the fact that of what we make of the fact that of the president's claim that ISIS has been removed as a threat. And where we stand, its territory may be gone, but the U.S. fight against ISIS is far from over. That's the headline in the New York Times.
Well, we learned, I mean, he made the claim before and it wasn't. And I think the problems that the Obama administration did was we got out of Afghanistan and we allowed for a void in which ISIS created. So hopefully we can learn from our mistake and not pull out completely, leave a void, and then somebody, either ISIS or somebody else, takes over. Right.
I mean, to think that ISIS is going to disappear, it'll just rebrand itself under a new name,
right,
and it'll find a country that it can find itself in, but they'll do what all terrorist organizations in the 21st century do. They will recruit. They'll use online, they'll use the web and Facebook and Twitter. They'll recruit unknowing people who don't really understand but who are angry in themselves. There will be terrorist attacks like there have been all along. And so while, you know, Trump might be able to say, see, I did it, all we need is, God forbid, one large attack sponsored saying that they did it. And that'll undercut his credibility.
And honestly, it will probably come from white nationalists.
Yeah. Well,
when we talk about terrorism.
I mean, that's the thing. The terrorist groups in the United States are the white nationalists. And it's every single mass shooting has been by an angry white man with a gun. And many of them have these tendencies towards white nationalism. And the guy in New Zealand was clearly a white nationalist and touted Trump. And Trump couldn't bring himself to say a word about it and denounce his actions. Oh, it's too bad, you know. And so, you know,
that's right.
Hearts, prayers, and thoughts, and it's just not enough. But that's the terrorism that we really face here in the United States.
Well, and abroad, I mean, that's the other story from this weekend is that the American-bred white nationalism is being exported and embraced via the internet. So. I don't believe anything that this president says about terrorism. He hasn't come out as a strong leader on national security. If anything, diverting national security funds to a border wall, a campaign promise, is chief among those.
Well, all you need to do is look at Mike Pompeo's performance last week in saying that the Jews should be happy with Trump because he's going to free us. I mean, using it during the time, comparing him to Esther during the time of Purim.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And you know, all they're wanting for Israel is for it to be there when the rapture comes. I mean, that's really what it's about. And, you know, for him to say what he said and for Trump to just shrug his shoulders and not really care about foreign policy.
Right, and then change, in 24 hours, pull back on what his advisors are suggesting regarding sanctions against North Korea,
yeah,
in which his advisors, his military experts are saying, we're going to put the clamp down on sanctions. And for whatever reason, the president tweets and says, no, I believe in the North Koreans and we're not going to have sanctions.
You got to wonder what they've got on them, too.
Yeah, it's true. And, quote, we love each other. Yeah.
We love each other, yes.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're out of time. My thanks to everybody. And Libby, Barry, and Sarah, thank you very much.